Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Many of us need to change one thing or another, but the real test is if we actually want to change. UK Minister Tim Chester, well-known figure, has written a powerful book about how to change called You Can Change. Our esteemed book reviewer, Cara Martin, has lots to say about this one. Cara, welcome back.
Greetings, Lee.
Great to see you.
Thank you.
So we all whinge about things we want to change. What particular approach does Tim suggest in his book?
What I really like about this, there are so many self-help books out there.
I've noticed this.
I know. It's the biggest section in bookstores these days. Yeah. Most of them are about rah-rah. Most of them are about weight or make lots of money or be a big success or something.
Whatever.
He said,
yada, yada.
Over that. Yeah. But he says, look, the most important change you can make is actually spiritually. And the problem we have with change is that sin is very attractive and you need to deal with it. And he starts off the book and he talks about in his church three people who made incredible transformations to their lives with God's help. But they were all about sinful things, getting to the core of the sin that was the problem. So someone with an addiction to porn, a woman who was a shopaholic and couldn't stop shopping, totally caught up in materialism, and another man who was just a liar and mean, who had like this character transformation. And Tim says, you know, the 10-point process he lists in the book is the same process he used with these three people.
Yes, which we'll get to. So he's saying that, well, he's blowing away all the self-help stuff.
Yes.
And he's basically saying God help.
Absolutely. Okay. That's it.
Does he explore how a person without Christian faith can embrace that or what they need to do to go about that?
I think so, because his main thing is that we were created. Why not turn to the person who created you, who knows you best,
yes,
who can actually help you to make the change?
I know he's pastored many, many people, and you've made reference to the 10-step process for a change. Let's go through some of these ones. One particular step, why would you like to change? What do you say about that?
Well, he says we often want to change for the wrong reasons, by trying to prove ourselves to others, by trying to even prove ourselves to ourselves. And he says actually the root of the problems we have is sin, and that's really about us and God. So trying to sort of do everything ourselves or trying to prove ourselves to others isn't going to work. And he says that we get caught up in the lies of sin, that sin promises fun and excitement but usually delivers pain and tragedy, that sin promises freedom but people get caught up, they become slaves to addiction. Sin promises life and fulfillment. It looks so exciting, but it actually delivers emptiness and frustration. Sin promises we can get away with it, but the fact is that most of the time we can't. People get caught.
One of his other steps is question that he asks is, what truths do you need to turn to?
I think these are really important things that we often lose sight of in society. One is that God is great. So in other words, we don't have to be in control. We have a great God who has the answers. Secondly, God is glorious. He's wonderful. So we don't actually have to fear others.
And not an old grumble bum in the sky
waiting
to whack us when we do wrong things.
No, well, that's the next one. God is good.
Yes.
He likes us and he likes us to have good things. And if we want to get good things, we just have to turn to God. And he's gracious. So we don't have to prove ourselves to him, and he's standing there ready to help us.
Yeah. Mm. Another question he asks, one of his steps, is what stops you changing?
Yeah, and I think this is a very common thing, and I certainly related to it. Our pride is a really big thing. We're self-reliant. We think we can do it ourselves, or we try and justify ourselves by excusing sin or minimizing sin or trying to hide the sin that's there. And sometimes what we do is we love the sin, we love the promise of sin, but we get caught up by the consequences of sin. But the thing that draws us to it is too attractive to give up.
Yeah. Mm. Another question he asks, how can we support one another in changing?
I think this is another thing that is sort of one of the great distinctives of the Christian life, and that is that we are actually not created to do all this on our own. Yep. We're actually created for community, and what we actually need is a great community of support around us to help us with this, and that means we've got to be honest with people about what's really going on.
Does he offer advice on how churches can be, or how these communities can actually do that? Because it's one thing to have the importance of community, it's another thing to actually know how to do it.
Well, he's one of the things he does is from the pulpit, he actually models the fact that, you know, there is sin, that sin is something in his life and that he wants to change. And then in terms of building communities, they actually have groups that are dealing with specific issues. And he also gets people to give their testimonies about how they've changed and how people have helped them in that change process.
Yeah. He finally asks, are you ready for a lifetime of daily change? So is he saying that it's not over like in the click of a finger like that?
Absolutely. He's saying two things. He says, first of all, it's a process. Yeah. But if you actually turn to God, you will get there. But secondly, he's saying that it's not just about the big sin in our lives, you know, it's not just about the big thing that's holding us up. There's lots and lots of little things that trip us up all the time. So it's not like you change the one thing and then everything's perfect and fine after that. It's a process of actually walking with God to become the people we're meant to be.
You touched on this before. The real problem is that lots of stuff considered sin is also so attractive and so tempting. What's his answer to that then?
Well, he says that you've got to become more aware of how sin traps us. I just remember when my kids were small and they were totally caught up with sort of wanting things at the supermarket. Just a simple trip to the supermarket can be horrible with little kids.
Sinful blighters.
And I would say to them, look, you know, they're trying to trap you. You've got to look out for their tricks. And I'd say, you know, notice how they put all the really nice things at your level. So you'll grab them and try and make me buy them. And I'd say, notice how they make the things that are the worst for you the most colourful. And so I talk about all the tricks and the lies that they use to try and trap us. And my kids actually became really good at saying, oh, look, Mum, look what they're doing. I'm not going to get caught by that.
Plot.
And I think that's what we've got to become aware of, that just see sin for what it is. And most of the time, if you really want to see sin for what it is, look at the consequences. All you have to do is live a little while in this world to see the really ugly consequences when people get caught up in sin.
Yes, indeed. Karen Martin, I always